right, all right. I like that, a little free water in the house. Everybody's doing good this morning? Great day to be alive. Early morning. I don't know why they put the Cajun early in the morning, but that's all about. Everybody's had your bacon this morning and your sausage and your omelets, your alligator boudin. Come on, somebody. All ready to go this morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. It's going to be a great day. Thanks for being here. I enjoy being back at my home state. I was born in North Carolina, lived here for about 11 years, then moved to South Carolina. Just didn't want to be there as long, and then moved to Louisiana, home of everything. Just everything. Just say something, and it's the home of it. And so it's just everyone was born there, to be honest with you. So it's just great, and it's great to have my wife here. I think this is the first ARC meet that Dylan's been to, and so I just want to honor her. Dylan, why don't you stand? Let's clap our hands for Mama D. Mama D in the house. It's great to have her. She makes me look better. Thank God. You know, Dylan told me one time a while back, I've lost a little weight. I've gotten a whole lot bigger. And one day we were standing in the bathroom getting dressed. And she looked and she said, baby, I need to let you know something. She said, one of us has gained 70 pounds since we got married. And one of us has gained 7 pounds since we got married. And I said, baby, I didn't know you were holding that much weight. She is the best thing that's ever happened to me other than Christ. But really, Christ brought her into my life. And I thank God for her. And we talk about church planting and the opportunity to be here along with this great leadership team. And I just wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, to be honest with you. She believed in me when a lot of people didn't believe in me. She stood by me when I made some bad decisions. Anybody here ever made one bad decision? How many's working on number 1,000? And so she stood by me all during those times. I can be honest with you. I think a lot of the success or whatever, hopefully, I guess success is the jury's still out. But hopefully the success that we have as a church, I really believe is a lot to do to her credibility of who she is. So often who she is, her integrity, who she has become, is so much a vital part of who we are as a church. And I just thank God for her and really every wife that's here. Matter of fact, if you're a pastor's wife, why don't you stand to your feet? If you're a pastor's wife, any type of pastor's wife, why don't we clap hands for all of our pastor's wives? Oh, thank God, thank God. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, I look forward to being here at All Access. I know last time we said our last amen at Church of the Highlands. I could not wait to get here. Could not wait to get here. How many, this is your first time you've attended an ARC conference? Raise up your hand. Holy cow. Okay, where did everybody else go? What's up with that? They quit? What's the story? I mean, that is, matter of fact, stand up real quick if this is your first ARC conference. Just stand to your feet. I want everybody to see this. First ARC conference. Wow. Come on, that's incredible. You can be seated. That's phenomenal. Welcome. Welcome. It's going to be a great couple days. I know we believe God's going to speak to each one of your hearts. What about last night? C3 team, Billy Hornsby, Matt Fry, just their heart, authentic, genuine. That's what you're going to get at an ARC conference is genuine, authentic hearts. You'll notice, I really believe, how the Holy Spirit kind of links everything together every moment. Today you're going to hear from some of the great teachers, just some of the great pastors, Greg Surratt, Chris Hodges. You have some great opportunities for workshops. And tonight, Ed Young will be here, and then tomorrow, Rick and Joe and Stovall. I encourage you, don't miss one session. You'll never know. You cannot predict how God's going to show up in your life or what's going to be said to you. So I would just encourage you to be at every single session, to be at all of these, because I think it's going to be a great. I love all the partnerships that are here. Just walking through the hallway last night and looking at all the relationships that we have and just seeing the resources that are being leveraged together, whether it's Feed the Children or Billy Graham or some of the other ones. I just think it's incredible to see what's happening. And then also all the things that have happened within ARC. I'm just going to brag on ARC for a second because I just love what God is doing. Since the last time we got together in April there at Church of the Highlands, I think my numbers are correct. We've launched 44 church plants just from that time till this time. 44 church plants and some campuses, places like Denver. How about this? Malibu. Gosh. How many of you are like, what's up, God? How do you get Malibu? And I got Bunky. What's going on with that? How'd I get Bunky? Denver, Malibu, Joplin, El Paso, Atlanta, St. Augustine, Dothan, Katy, Springdale, Snellville. I love that. That's Troy. That's what they did there at the campus. Snellville. Here's what I wonder. I wonder what the next 12 months are going to be like. Where will we get to do more of God's work in? I think it's one of the most exciting things about art is just to anticipate and to get fired up about what is going to be next, where we're going to be able to celebrate more of these things. Arc churches, when you think about it, have grown to some of the most recognizable names in church life today. I know last night we had over 184 people that were watching online, and I believe there'll be hundreds more watching today online. You see people that are watching and are standing by to see some of the things that are happening at Arc, and it's just so cool to see the impact of a lot of partnership with other organizations, to see how Arc has been such a key part of One Prayer, and this year will be another key part of One Prayer. Then also the Awakening Fast that Stovall kind of led and just did an incredible job of calling out to the churches for the Awakening Fast, hundreds and hundreds of church participating with that, just on and on. I'm just so proud. I'm so thankful for every church plant, for every person who's a part of Arc. Maybe you're here and you're just saying, I'd like to just be in a relationship. We just want to be friends. Well, we do relationships too. And so I just thank God for all of it, to see what's happening. Excited. I believe the future is bright and our best days are ahead of us. Can I have a good amen? And just looking forward to it, forward to it, forward to it. And I also want to thank you, as Matt mentioned, for embracing these 7 days of Servolution. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of stories, just some neat ideas, and really the heart behind Servolution and being able to get those 7 days together was just to exchange ideas, to realize, hey, you're doing that over here, that could work over here, and to help empower our church. And also just a fuel for some incredible Easter attendance and hopefully a lot of people that said yes to Jesus. I know we believe that we spent less money on our Easter this year than ever. We had a bigger attendance jump than ever before. And I believe it was a lot to do with just serving, getting on the streets, letting people know that they matter. And if they're looking for something, they need someone, we're there for them. So we've had a lot of fun with it. Our desire for Servolution is not to just be an event, but it's to be a culture. So we did a little video, and I think this will work. It's just a video, a quick update of Servolution around the globe with over 240 churches that participated and tens of thousands of volunteers. So why don't we check out this video? Let's see if we can get this going. Fun. So thanks to everybody who participated, and it's exciting to see what's going on. This year, we're going to be talking and we'll be communicating to you about being involved with the President's 9/11 initiative that's taking place in just a few months, and then give you more information later about Servolution 10, 2010. We've got some ideas for next year. I think it'll be a great time. I was able to go out and do a serve. I went out and did, it was a bar outreach at 2 in the morning. I hadn't done that in a while, I can tell you that. And so got out there, and we went out to these bars by LSU. We gave out hot Chick-fil-A sandwiches. How many know people come out of a bar drunk but dancing, they need some munchies going on? And so we gave out some Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and it was the coolest thing. I gave one to one guy, and he's looking at this card about inviting to Easter, and he kept looking at me, and we kept kind of looking at each other. Finally, he said, "Hey, dude. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Dude, you're on this card." Dude, that is like weird. You're on the card, and you just gave me a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Another guy walked up to me. It was the funniest thing. And he walked up to me. We were talking, and he just like, "Man, dog, what are you doing here?" I said, he says, I know who you are. He said, man, I come to your church. My wife's at home with the baby. I ain't supposed to be here. Man, you have ruined my night. I was like, good. This is just cool to serve and reach people and, you know, love people and convict them. Ha ha. Just say one thing about the book that's coming out, Servolution, the book. It's really the story of our church's journey, and we're definitely still on that journey. The book is intended really to be a resource to help you and your staff develop a culture of serving. Serving is not an event. Can I tell you right now, social justice is not a trend. If it's just a trend, we're in deep trouble. The poor are not something to be played with. They're not something that we use. The widow, the single mom, the hurting, the addict, it's not something that we use to benefit us. They've always been with us. They will always be with us. And I pray they will always be a passion of the church. And so it is a culture. It is a DNA of the gospel. It is a DNA of Jesus. And so that's really what the heartbeat of this is about. We have books available here. We wanted to first release the book right here at Art Conference, and we did that at the discounted price at $13. So we've got available also where we can get them to your church in bulk. We'll pay for the postage for that. And we've got some free copies that we want to give you. If you're a lead pastor of an Ark church or you are planning a Ark church this year, we want to give you a free copy of the book. And so go by there, but also you can go by there and order for your church and your leadership team, because that's our heart. You said, Dina, are you excited about it? I sure am. Do you want to get this book out? I sure do. I'd like to see every believer read it so that they can go back into their churches and serve like never before and have a passion to serve and to do whatever it takes for the glory of Jesus. So I'd love to get this in the hand of every person who attends a church, to be honest with you, because I just believe it can help them and can make a difference in their life. So once you go by, I'm going to be back there between 12 and 1, and I'll just visit with you. I'd love to talk about ideas and talk to you about the book or anything at all, or exchange some ideas about serving, outreach, reaching people. Would love to do that. And if you want me to sign it for someone, of course, we'll do that also. So great day to be alive. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for this church. I thank you for Billy and Charlene. I thank you for what they mean to all of us. And Lord, what a great day we're going to have. Lord, in a few minutes to hear Greg and Chris and tonight during the workshops and tomorrow. God, we're just humbled. It's just a humbling thing, Lord, to stand in this house, this incredible church. What you're doing way out here in the middle of nowhere is just incredible. And so, God, we just thank you for what you're doing. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Hey, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it this morning. Look at the other person. You didn't want to talk to your second choice. There's always a second choice. And tell them you're looking fine today. I love coming to C3. You know why I love coming? Let me tell you why I love coming to C3. I love coming to C3 because it will go against that whole thought of, you know, I'm just not in a great location. Where are we? I have no cell coverage. You know that thought of, man, I got to be in this. I mean, location is so important. We want to get there. But I'm going to tell you right now, we lost. What a great miracle testimony. And I've been privileged to be a part of Matt and Martha's life and be able to walk beside them for about the last 5 or 6 years and to see this thing grow and then to build this phenomenal building that cost a whole lot of North Carolina money. And so I just thank God for that. We used to sing a song at our church called I Have a Destiny. I have a destiny. I know I shall fulfill. That's back when we had horns. Y'all remember that? Now all we have is jeans and guitars. Come on, somebody, you know. I have a destiny. And we used to sing that song. Don't we sing that song? I love that song. I have a destiny. I have a great voice. It's pretty phenomenal. I can't finish it. I don't know the rest of it. Come on, Randy. Don't make me get a mic up here in front of you because I have a better voice than you. But he's skinnier. I believe that there's destiny in this room. And I want to discuss that for a few minutes. It's not so much about understanding your destiny, but really what I want to talk about is understanding how to finish your destiny strong. See, it's one effort just to get a vision. How many knows that takes a lot of effort? I mean, it's hard to know, who are we? You start a church, who are we? You kind of flounder around trying to figure out, who are we? Why are we here? What is our niche? I know we struggled with that for several years. What is our niche? Is it a creative niche? Is it a leadership niche? What do we have to offer in our destiny? It's one thing to get a vision. It is another thing to ride it to the end. God, give us inspiration. My prayer has been, God, give us inspiration. I think about all these churches that get planted, and every week when Gail sends us these churches that are getting planted, I look at them, I thank God for their launch. I get excited about those early days. But I always think, God, give them inspiration to the end. Give them inspiration to finish strong. So the idea is, I want to talk to you a little bit about longevity. Longevity. I like that word, longevity. It means durability. Give us churches that are durable. It means length of service. It means lasting through different seasons. Can I be totally transparent with you? There were many days during our church life, we're 16 years old, that I did not think we were going to make it. Matter of fact, there was seasons that I had this fatalist approach to church. I was a fatalist, to be honest. I thought everything was fatal. I mean, you can ask Delin. I would drive her crazy. I mean, there'd be days I'd look at Delin, it's going down. It's over. She's like, baby, there were 5 people less than last week. I know, but it's over. I mean, I went through a long, it wasn't a short season. I'm being transparent. It was years, years of wondering at any moment, this thing is coming apart. I mean, it was just a long time that I struggled with that. If I was to be real transparent, I know sometimes people are very confident. I struggled with confidence in those early years, still do at times now. But there was this fear that no one was ever going to come back. I mean, it was like, I actually believed that there was going to be a sudden, total exodus. There were days that I would drive up to the church and I had a feeling, a sick fear feeling, that I was going to walk on stage and there was going to be no one there. I'm not talking about when we had 100 people. I'm talking about when we crossed over 1,000, 2,000. This was up into 2,000 and 3,000 people showing up at our church. I would still some Sundays drive up and just get nauseated thinking, no one's going to show up, no one's going to show up. And I'd act like I was going to the bathroom and I was just looking out the door, seeing if any cars are showing up. You know, people riding down the road, there's another car. They don't put on their blinker. It's just this feeling. No one's putting on their blinker. No one's turning in here. There were thoughts that I had, can we maintain this? Can we maintain this speed, this velocity? And then you'd hear the stats. Oh, God, help me. And the stories. You know, no, pastors are leaving the ministry. Wives are hating it. Kids are going to hell. I would hear so many stats and stories of, you know, and all I can think about is we are doomed. We are doomed. I mean, just one story. You know, brother, I had a lot of friends in Bible college. They planted churches too. Hadn't seen them. Like they just got lost and we don't know where they're at. They're out there somewhere. We haven't come back from the store. Then one day, it wasn't that long ago, to be honest with you. One day I realized longevity was not as much about my ability, my smartness, my talent. I want you to hear this, guys. It was more about my submission and my surrender to God's Spirit working in my own life. Not as much as working in the church, but working in my own life. I want to walk you through a quick story in the book of Acts and then offer 3 marks of longevity, and then we can move on today. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Now, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It is not a conference favorite scripture. Just real quick, I just want to give you a heads up on that. This is not a conference favorite text. Okay, I know, but we'll get past that. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 10, a man by the name of Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira. Do you know their names? Many of you know this. Their names mean grace and beauty. Give you a little context. Sometimes, even in a season and in the environment of grace and beauty, we better be careful. And a lot of you, you know that it's been grace. And the grace has caused it to be beautiful. And you see what God is doing, and it is beautiful. But it's interesting that their names mean grace and beauty. And so the Bible says that they sold a piece of property, and they got together, full knowledge, kept back part of the money for himself, brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Why were they doing that? Because that was happening in the local church. That was happening with the people. Verse before that, in Acts chapter 4, Barnabas had sold some property and brought it, put it at the apostles' feet. It had to be a great time. There was just an outpouring of generosity. And so they saw that idea, and they wanted to imitate that idea. But can I tell you, if imitation is not genuine, it can get you in deep trouble. So they began to imitate what Barnabas was doing, and they thought, well, I can imitate that, therefore it'll work for me. But their heart, remember Matt talking last night to us about our heart? Their heart had an issue. There was a disconnect of the heart, even though they were imitating the same thing that Barnabas did. So they brought it to the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart? You've lied to the Holy Spirit. That's interesting. Lied to the Holy Spirit. You ought to underline that. Lied to the Holy Spirit. Lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received in the land. Did it belong to you before it was sold? After it was sold, wasn't it money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to men, but to God. And as I heard this, he fell down and died. This is great. Great fear seized on all who saw it. Yeah, I'd say. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him home and buried him. Carried it on and buried him. Verse 7, about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. That was a bad deal. Peter said, tell me, Sapphira, what price did you and Ananias get for the land? How much did you sell the land for? She said, this price was, yeah, she had that price. Peter said, how could you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, Sapphira, look at the door. Look at the back door. At the back door, there is the feet of the men who buried your husband at the door. And they carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down and died. Then the young men, circle that again. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, buried her beside her husband. And again, great fear seized on the whole church and all who heard about these events. A couple thoughts. What could have been in Ananias and Sapphira's life if they would have chosen to be transparent? What could have happened? What could the story have looked like if they would have decided to be transparent, not to go for a temporary, quick, limelight, but to just walk authentic and genuine before God, before the apostles. I mean, there could be a book named after them. There could be churches named. Nobody names their church Ananias and Sapphira. I've never been anywhere. They got Barnabas Ministries, St. Paul, Peter Gift, you know, all these kind of things. John Mark, you know, all these incredible, you know, things. I've never been anywhere. Well, this is our Ananias and Sapphira ministry. Would you like to join that group? I never seen it. That's bad. What could have been if they would have chosen to be transparent? I liked how Matt was transparent last night. If that's one thing you'll find out about, I believe, the lead team and other great churches in art, is you'll sit to transparency. They're just not going to tell you about their successes. They probably like talking about their failures more than they do their successes. They probably like talking to you about their low numbers more than their high numbers. They probably like talking to you about their worst Sundays more than they do their better Sundays. There's a transparency. Here's the other thought I had. What was it like for those young men who buried Ananias and Sapphira? Could you imagine that conversation? I'd be carrying them out. Whoa, what was that all about? And one of them says, man, you know, I told you like 3 days ago, I didn't eat your Pop-Tart. Dog, I ate 2 Pop-Tarts. I mean, I can tell you, there was some accountability in the house. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You should have heard. You should have seen what I thought. I mean, could you imagine that conversation? And then they bury Ananias, and then they go back, and they walk in with their dirty, muddy feet from burying Paul. I mean, it's interesting that it says that Peter told that get the young men to do this, the next generation. Maybe the interns or the mentor or the interns or the apprentices, they go back and they're like, man, all of a sudden, Miss Beauty, she drops dead. Oh, man. Dog, you remember like a week ago when you couldn't find that $5? I stole you $5. I took you $5. Whoa. Then they bring Sister Sapphira out. What was that conversation like? They lied and they died. You ought to use that as a sermon. I just gave you a whole series. Lied and died. It's an interesting thought. A couple more thoughts. Could it be that the young interns were getting a first-hand lesson on short-lived vision? See, Ananias and Sapphira had a vision to finance and to be a part and to grow, but those young people, they got a great front-row seat on a short-lived vision. They were doing the same thing that Barnabas did, and Barnabas lived a long life and prospered in God's kingdom and grew God's house. Barnabas did the same thing, but Ananias and Sapphira, their vision, their dream, their idea, their heart was short-lived. You know, I had some lessons like that. I was a part of a ministry that thrived, that literally was touching the world. I don't talk about it a lot, to be honest with you. Because there was a time when I left that ministry that I talked about it for a few months. And I would travel during that time when I left as a youth pastor, this ministry, and I traveled. People would stop me and they would say, tell me about what it was like to work there. Tell me about the problems and tell me about this. And what was it like? Did they spend money? And they would. It was like being interviewed and people were wanting to know the dirt and people wanting to know the situation. And I would talk about it and talk about it. And I'll never forget, my father-in-law overheard me having a conversation about the failure. And he said, son, if you're not careful, you're not going to learn anything from that failure. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, don't say a word about it again. Just get in the word about it. It marked me as a young man about that situation. I want to finish and I want to leave you with 3 marks of longevity. 3 marks of longevity. I think there's a lot of takeaways and we won't get into all those. We've got a lot going on today. There's a lot of takeaways, but I narrowed it down to just 3 quick thoughts. Here's the first mark of longevity. If you say, Dina, I think I would rather go with the Barnabas. I think I would like to not only get the vision for the church and have a vision for my city. I would love to see this vision, you know, cross the finish line. I not only want to birth a church, I want to see a church grow strong, pass it to the next generation and move on. And I want to be a person that learns from the generation before me. What is it we can learn from people around us? What is it we can learn from those who have gone before us, whether it was their success or their failures? What is it we can take away from our spiritual fathers, whether it was good, bad, or ugly? What can we take away so that we can complete the vision that God has given us in our heart for people? What is it? That was only a few claps. I feel very cheated. Why don't we try that again? Much better. I know it's 9 o'clock, but you're strong. Here's the first one, humility. Just 3 marks. I've got a few minutes. Humility. I love what Rick Warren says about humility. That humility is not thinking less of yourself. is thinking of yourself less. Remember what Muhammad Ali said? It's hard to be humble when you're as good looking as me. Do you know what? I thought about that last night. It's hard to be humble when you're as good looking as me. And I didn't think about that for me. I just was thinking about the statement. In church, you got to be careful. When God blesses the church and all of a sudden there's a growth, somebody's telling me that they said, you know, our church has grown. It's not like what you've grown, but we grew 150 last year. Almost as if that was not, and I thought, man, celebrate. You grew 150 people last year? Holy cow, that's a lot. That's huge. But when we have those moments, can I tell you, it's hard to be humble when there's such incredible favor. But humility is a mark of longevity. Ananias and Sapphira just had to get ahead. I think they were trying to one-up Barnabas, to be honest. I think they just wanted to it was good. They saw the attention, and they couldn't sit back without getting the attention. They had to get in on some of that attention. And so instead of being humble about their gift, they were prideful about their gift. I just encourage you to walk in humility, not false humility. There's a big difference. Walk in humility. There's always somebody that's doing it better. There are people in your community, believe it or not, that are pretty good churches. There are people that we don't even know about. Do you know there are people? I was in a church in Queens, New York this Sunday. Phenomenal church. I was amazed. Nobody even knows about them. I mean, it was packed out, 3 services, Latinos, Puerto Ricans, Italians, Brazilians, Argentinians, and 2 white people. I mean, it was a phenomenal, nobody knows them. Phenomenal church. They don't do church like I do church. They do a little different, a little old school feeling. What is it? Ancient of Days. But it was working. Little old school, some old school double-breasted suits. It was working. It was different, but it was amazing. Oh, just humble. Mark of longevity. I'm finding it to be true, is humility. You can't think more of yourself than you should. That's what a great wife's about. A great wife will tell you the truth. You know, sometimes I'll be feeling so strong about something. They'll just say, well, baby, you know, there's some other areas we can talk about. Here's the second mark, is honesty. 3 marks of humility. The first one is 3 marks of longevity. The first one is humility. I think the second one is honesty. These are mine. These are what I narrowed it down to. The second one would be honesty. Do you know honesty is the foundation in which every single thing of your church stands? Everything stands on honesty. It is the foundation of ministry. It is the foundation of God's work. It's to be honest. God help us not to pretend to be something that we're not. Let's not pretend to be bigger and to be more than we are. Do you know, you've got to be so careful with that with numbers. We did not have 12,000. We had 11,402. At Easter. And that was at all of our campuses. Do you know how careful you have to be with your numbers? Oh, that God would help us. That ARC would be one of the most honest movements on the planet. This is what we have in church. This is what we're about. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. We haven't done that. No, we don't get credit for that. Just, I think one of the marks of longevity is decide, I'm going to be honest. Humble and honest about what it is. If it stinks, tell them it smells. Nothing wrong with it, to be honest. Again, I think a wife can help you with that. You know, there was a time 3 years ago that I went through a time that I thought I started thinking more highly of myself than I should. I got a little self-important. I don't know, it was about 4 or 5 months and I was being challenged with some things, so I was having to really step up, and I stepped beyond where I should have stepped. And I'll never forget, Delenn talked to me in our garage. I don't know why it was in the garage, but she talked to me for about 5 minutes about what she said, you really want me to tell you what I see in your heart? And I tell you what, it was one of the most honest conversations we've ever had. And boy, she helped me so much that day. And then I turned around and told her a few things. Can I have a good amen? But it so helped, be honest. Here's the third thing, and now I finish up. I want to stay right on time, honor time. Third thing is honor, 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 honor. Three marks of humility, three marks of longevity, humility, honesty, and honor. I would love for ARC churches to be known as the most honorable environment on the planet. To be honorable with our words, to be very honorable. You can't go wrong with honor. What does it say? You know, honor your mother and father. You know what? I'll give you long life. I think if we will honor and respect those who have gone before us, God will give us long life. Let's be a people of honor. I think about Robert Barringer, who's here. I honor him. He went to Peru about 26 years ago, didn't know nobody, and has planted one of the great churches on the globe today. I honor Robert Barringer. I think about Dave Olerking, who has spent about 40 years serving children, AIDS orphans, when nobody even talked about AIDS orphans. I honor Dave. When Dave Olerking walks in our church, when he walks in our staff meeting, when he walks in our offices, I've told our staff, you better honor him. If I see you not honoring me, if you don't jump to your feet, if you don't give him your chair, I don't care how you can sing. I don't care how you can preach. I don't care how you can make a graphic. If you don't honor that man, I don't want you here. Because if you don't know how to honor, your gift is going to be tainted. If you can't honor him, I think about Gary Skinner. Many of you don't even know that Gary's among us, the founder, him and his wife. You know, incredible church there in Uganda. And I think about the Watoto children and all that's going on there. And I saw him last night. I just immediately thought, what an honor it is for ARC to have people like that here. Rob Hoskins, over and over again, to be people of honor, where we watch what we say, we guard our words, that our words are honorable towards others. All that God would give us a next generation of pastors, young pastors, energetic and innovative and cutting edge in social media, cutting edge in social justice, cutting edge in some of the cities that are falling apart, but pastors that understand honor and respect for others. I went to New York this weekend to stand beside Joel and Victoria Osteen. I want to be there with them. What an opportunity. 40,000 people in Yankee Stadium. I saw it with my own eyes, and Joel did an incredible job of giving an altar call. Man, he made it as clear as it could be. It wasn't, you know, if y'all feel sick, y'all just stand up. If you just don't feel good, if you just don't feel like the Lord is around you, if you just feel like your car ain't no good, if you just alive, stand up. It wasn't one of those. It was clear cut, come to Jesus. Randy and I were there with our wives. Randy, there had to be 20, 22,000 people that stood to their feet. I ran into a daughter at church on Sunday. She said, were you at the event in Yankee Stadium? I said, yeah. She said, my father was there. He's a Muslim. He was born in Tehran, Iran. Is it Tehran? Is it? In Iran. And he said, my father is a Muslim, but he's been watching Joel Osteen on television. So he decided to go to Yankee Stadium. He stood up to receive Jesus as a Muslim. You know, Joel was so humble. He was so honest. You know, the first thing he did was honor his father. He went like, hey, it's Joel. What's up? I'm Joel. Whoa, got my mullet. Whoa. You know what he did? Mama, come on up here. Doty gets up on stage, 40-something thousand people, little old Doty, tells about getting healed of cancer, 70-something years old. He talked about standing on his father's shoulders. You know, the choice was between Joel Osteen to open up Yankee Stadiums or the Rolling Stones, and they went with Joel Osteen. I got to tell you this. Some people don't like Joel Osteen. Some people say this. Take a few shots at Joel Osteen. I hope Ark never does. I hope that's not who we are. We're not talking about condoning things that are wrong or not standing for things that are right. But you know what? You know how our church started? About 16 and a half years ago, I was in Houston, Texas. We sat in John and Dodie Osteen's living room. He's pastoring this massive church back in those days, 8,000, 9,000 people. That was huge. Wasn't many churches bigger than that. And we sat there and we shared our little vision with John Osteen. He looked at me and he said, son, I want you to go to South Baton Rouge and I want you to plant a church to reach the poor. And he went in his living room and he came back and gave us a $400 check. He said, I want you to go plant that church, because if you don't plant it and take this money to use the church, I'm going to get you arrested. Because that's how he was. He said, I'll arrest you. You know, I went to Yankee Stadium. We gave that. It was for honor. I wanted to honor what he had given to us. Spirit of honor. Longevity. Humility, honesty, and honor. That we will be people that will walk in honor. And you know what? God will bless us with long life. Oh, that I hope that every Ark Church lives long. Every church is represented here. Amen?